We will look at Mark 4 tonight, and this will prepare us, I think, for our prayer meeting here in just a little bit as we pray and praise the Lord and then pray for each of our four missionaries that we have by name. So I pray that God will use his word tonight. You have the outline in front of you, and here's the title for tonight. Christ calls you to sow the gospel, to grow in grace, and then to trust Scripture's power. Let's read this passage, Mark 4, beginning in verse 21. This is the word of the true and living God. The context is right when he was finished with the parable of the soils. Mark 4, verse 21. And Jesus was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? Well, he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Our Father, we pray that you would take the power of your word and that you would show us the teaching of Christ and the power of Christ and the power of the word. Holy Spirit, that you would please show us what our duty is as followers of the Lamb, as slaves of the Master. We pray, O Lord, that you would convict us in love, that you would show us the mercy of the Savior, and that you would remind us of the high calling to worship you and to proclaim you and to make disciples of all nations. Lord, help us to do that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. It was in the 1800s that William Carey, who's often called the father of modern missions, William Carey labored for about 7 years in India before he saw really any visible fruit from his ministry. Maybe you heard the story that he labored for years and years, seven to be exact, before there was even one conversion in the land of India. He shared the gospel faithfully for more than 40 years as a believer. He would preach and he would disciple and he would go to the streets and he would do missions and share the gospel with very little visible fruit in his lifetime. And yet you have a quote at the top of your page that he said. It's really a well-known quote, but it really should not be forgotten. He said, "The future is always as bright as the promise of God." And then he charged believers that you and I need to expect great things from God, and you and I must attempt great things for God. And that's really what I want to call you to do tonight. I want you to expect great things from a great God. And I want you to attempt great things from a great God. We serve a great God. We have a good master. Can I remind you that the word gospel means good news? That you are a bearer of good news. That when you share the gospel, this is not a bad message. This is not a terrible. This is a good message of good tidings of what God has done. And all that our Savior commands us is good and right, and it ought to be obeyed. But if you're like me, we could look at our life and say, "Man, I want to share the gospel, but there are hindrances." Why are there hindrances? And what are the hindrances of why we don't share the gospel? Let me give you some, and these are in your outline. Number one, I think the first, and maybe the obvious one, is man-pleasing. man-pleasing. The idea of, I want to be accepted. I want to be liked by other people. And so I don't want to sort of confront them with anything that'll make them feel bad, because I don't want to be rejected. I want to be pleasing to other people. And I think kind of the twin to that is the next one in your outline. That's the fear of ridicule. The fear of ridicule. I'm afraid of what people will say or what people will think of me, or I don't want the stigma of being that radical religious fanatic. I want to keep and preserve my reputation. Or maybe third, some people might say, you know, no, I don't share the gospel because it isn't my personality. It's not my personality. Kind of the false notion that I'm a quiet, introverted, you know, I'm not kind of a, I'm not made out for this. I'm not a real outgoing person. That somehow I'm excused from obeying my master's commands. I think another hindrance of why some may not share the gospel is ignorance. Ignorance. I don't know very much. What if I get in a conversation and they've got all the questions, but I don't have the answers? What do I do then? And then I think another hindrance of why many do not share the gospel is just laziness. Laziness, a care for self more than care for others. And often I think the statement is, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I think another reason why some Christians do not share the gospel is just bad theology. Bad theology, kind of a hyper-Calvinism. You know, God's going to save them anyway. God's going to save them anyway, which is terrible. Terrible understanding of the Bible. It's not what the Bible teaches at all, that if God is going to save them, he doesn't need you. Of course he does. He uses us in the gospel work. But also, I think another hindrance why some do not share the gospel is lack of compassion. Lack of compassion for the lost, and I think related to that is a lack of understanding about the eternality of hell. I think if you and I were dropped into hell for 1 minute, we'd come back totally different. And if God took us there and brought us back, we would all be different. We would all be changed. We would all have a totally different mindset as to how we live the rest of our lives. And so in Mark 4, I want to give you clarity tonight. I want to give you help. What does your Savior want of you? What does he want of you? He is teaching and he is preaching and he's in public. And what are the marching orders of the master? What does your Lord want of you, his slave? Remember in Mark chapter 3, the Jewish leaders publicly rejected Jesus. You're doing works by the power of Satan, right? You're just doing works by the power of Beelzebul in Mark 3, verses 20 to 30. So then Jesus began to teach in parables. It would kind of veil the truth from the unbelievers, and then he would reveal that spiritual meaning and application to his own people. Look at chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Last time we were in the Gospel of Mark, we looked at this, the parable of the four soils. And the first three are unconverted people. Only the fourth soil is a true believer, the one who hears the word and receives it and bears much fruit. That is the true believer. Now, tonight, we don't want to divorce our text tonight from the context. Because where we are tonight, if you look in your outline, if verses 1 to 20 is all about how you receive the word, tonight we're going to talk about the need, if you receive it, you need to proclaim it. You need to give it. You need to speak the word. You need to proclaim the truth. And then what we will look at the end of our time in Mark 4 tonight is that the word of God is going to do its growth. It's going to do its work. It's not up to you and me to bring about gospel fruit. God is going to do that. Your job and my job as a receiver of the gospel is to give it out. To give it out, to give it out, to give it out. The Lord will bring the growth. We are to trust in him. And maybe just before we jump in here, I don't want to call you tonight to some sort of a radical hyper-Christianity. I'm calling you tonight to ordinary, faithful, committed, experiential Christianity. This is just the normal call of the child of God to receive the gospel and be saved, and then to want to share that and tell that to other people. That's what we're looking at tonight in Mark chapter 4. So look with me. Let's look at kind of the structure of our outline. Verse 21, notice in your Bible, Jesus was saying to them. Look at the next phrase in verse 24. Jesus was saying to them. Same thing. And then in verse 26, really the same thing. And he was saying. That's kind of the outline of where we are going to be tonight. Three things for us in these three sections. Number one, you need to give the word. Number two, you need to grow in the word. And then number three, we need to glorify the Lord. So we want to give the word to other people. We want to grow in the word of God in our own hearts. And then we want to glorify the Lord as we trust in him to bring about growth, as we share that gospel and tell it to others. So follow with me. Let's begin with your outline. Number one, what does the Lord want of all those who hear the word and receive it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold? We are to give the word. If you're a Christian, your call in life is to be a teller, a proclaimer of the gospel. Look at the outline. The point, your job is to impart the word. Verse 21, Jesus was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? Let me explain. Verse 22, nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. A lot of people want to silence Christianity today. I heard it today, I heard it yesterday. You and I hear it all the time. You're going to hear it at the workplace. You're going to hear it with your neighbors and family and relatives and friends. Be quiet. Stop forcing your belief upon us. You know, be quiet. Stop talking. We don't need to hear your religion. Leave God out of this. But you know what? The Bible teaches that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been bearing fruit for the glory of God, you have a responsibility, not just the preacher, but all of us. We all have a responsibility, and that duty is not to hide the word. Rather, it is to make it known. And the image that Jesus brings out here is of a lamp. He's going to talk about a lamp, and Jesus is going to say, you should not hide the light. If you have received the truth of the gospel, don't hide it or put it under a basket or don't put it under your bed, but let that lamp shine for all to see. In fact, in my study, in verse 20, where we ended last time, those on whom the seed fell on good soil, they hear and accept it. I think in the context with verses 21 and 22, part of the fruit bearing 30, 60, and 100-fold is fervent evangelism. I think part of bearing fruit in the life of the Christian is letting your light shine and letting the gospel be on display. And that's what the lamp is in verse 21 in this parable. The lamp is the truth of the message. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the message of Christ, the Bible, the truth should not be hidden. If you hear anything in point one here, don't hide the message of the gospel. We don't want to hide it. We want to proclaim it. But notice how our Lord brings up two ways that it can be hidden. Really interesting. Number one, don't put it under a basket and don't put it under a bed. I mean, he could have said, don't bury it in the sand, you know, whatever. But why a basket and why a bed? I think for two reasons. Don't hide it under a basket because that stands for your business, your commercialism, your money making. It stands for the business and that which you can use to make money and your vocation and your way of life. Don't take the gospel and hide it sort of way down on the importance pole, way under your job, your money making, your business, and so on. But nor do we want to hide it under the bed. Well, the bed? Why the bed? What does that mean? Well, the bed was a place of pleasure, a place of ease, a place of just worldly comfort. You work a long day in the field, you come home and you crash and you go to bed. Don't put the lamp below your pleasure seeking. Below the frivolity of life, below just the hobbies of life. Don't hide the truth of the gospel. We want to let it shine. I remember reading in one commentary where the commentator said, it's like Jesus is saying, take the truth and hold it up. Take the Lord Jesus and hold him up. Let the light shine. End of verse 21. Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand for all to see, to give light? You know, not everybody is called to be a street preacher or a missionary or a full-time evangelist, but everybody is called to be some way, some shape, some form, a teller of the good news of the gospel. You know, for a stay-at-home mom, you have the highest calling ever to do that with your children every day. You know, and for all, the rest of us, we all have opportunities each and every day to take the good news of Christ and to make that known. I think of the story of, let's just call her Suzanne. She graduated from a top Ivy League school with a degree in biology and chemistry. One of her advisors said to her upon graduation, she is absolutely brilliant and unparalleled in her skill and precision. And then after that, she went to med school, and in her lab research, she uncovered some of the most thrilling and exciting finds in the medical field in recent history regarding diseases and the treatment and carefully designed cure for some physical illnesses. Well, after all this, she was hired to be the chair of the biology department at a very renowned institution. So, when she was hired upon here, her calendar was soon filled with speaking engagements. I mean, just jam-packed with places to speak at conferences and universities and institutions and medical platforms and business firms. And every time when she would get up to speak, and it was her time, she would get up and be kind but silent. Now, she would be polite but very quiet. And they would say, well, we want to hear. What's this thing that you've done? What's the research? Give us all that you've done. And she would say, it's not for me to tell you. I cannot say. It's kind of a ludicrous story. Why in the world would she get up in public and respond like that? And that kind of a response to that kind of a hypothetical scenario, it's like a Christian. I've got the best news that you could ever hear, but I can't tell you. I don't want to open my mouth and make it known. It doesn't make sense to do that. We have the great message of the gospel. Don't hide it under the bed. Don't hide it under a basket, but let it out for all to hear. One writer said, victories for the souls of men are never won on the playground, but they are always won on the battlefield of life. Christian, you and I are in battle. And can I tell you something? We are going to be told, and we are being told, and we're being commanded by many, be quiet. Be quiet. Go back. Go home. Go inside your church. Keep your gospel there. But Jesus never said, sit and be silent. He said, get up and speak. Go and make disciples. Never forget that. Because when times get harder and when the culture around us gets more intense, we need to remember that our Savior told us all through the Word of God that our duty is to go and speak and make the light known. I think of Acts chapter 18 when Paul was in the city of Corinth. In Acts 18 verse 9, the Lord said to Paul, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. I love that verse. Go on speaking and do not be silent. Well, he's just been mocked. He's just been rejected in the city of Corinth. And yet the Lord tells him, don't be afraid, but keep on speaking. Keep on speaking. Keep on speaking. Can I encourage you, Christian, to take the Word of God? You've got the lamp of the gospel right here. Let it shine. Let it shine. Don't hide it under a basket. Don't hide it under the bed. Don't hide it anywhere, but let that light shine for all to see. You know, one thing to think about, the culture that you and I live in, we can all acknowledge this, the culture is loudly screaming its agenda at us. Well, shall we not lift up our voice for the Master? Right? I mean, they are bombarding us with their message. How much more should we lift up the good news of the message to a lost and dying world? So we want to give the word. If we are those in the good soil where we've received it and we've accepted the word and we're bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 fold, then Jesus in the next breath says, make it known. Let your light shine. Let the gospel go forth. Give the word. But number two in your outline, it's not only to do that. Number two, you actually want to grow in the word as well. You want to grow in the word. And this is almost kind of a very common saying that our Savior brought out many times in his ministry. Not only is your job to give the word, but you are to mature in the word. You're to be progressing in the faith, growing in Christ. Look at verse 24. He was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Do you notice what our Savior said in verse 24 at the beginning of that verse? He said, take care what you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. Not only take care what you listen to, but earlier in verse 23, we have to take care that we listen. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. And then the parallel in Luke says, take care how you listen. So we want to be growing. We want to listen up to the word of God. One of the things that is so just gripping to my heart as a student of the Bible and a teacher of the Bible is we are never neutral in the hearing of the word. And that's kind of a sobering thing to think about. We're not neutral in the hearing of the word of God. We want to take diligent effort to receive the word well and grow in the word. And that's the whole point of verse 24. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Well, Jesus, what do you mean by that? I think he's talking about the seriousness of diligent effort. If it's like that universal law that the measure of your diligent attention to the teaching of the Bible will be the measure by which you profit from the Word of God. It's like if you put a lot into it, you'll get a lot out of it. That's the idea. If you put a lot into the Word and you study, you're going to get a lot out of the Word. That's what the Lord says in verse 24. So how you receive the Word is how you will be a recipient of more insight in the Word of God. It's kind of like Proverbs 9, verse 9. Listen to this parallel. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. It's like the more that you sow, the more that you'll reap. God is faithful, and I love the end of verse 24. I want you to see this, and you could even turn this into a prayer. Verse 24, and still more will be given to him. More will be given to him besides. Lord, I want to grow. I want to know more. Take me deeper in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of Christ, in the knowledge of the gospel. Lord, I want to know more. Enlarge my mind to understand more of you. Jesus says, more will be given. Verse 25, whoever has, to him more shall be given. What a faithful God who generously gives to his children. Generously gives to his children. But the reverse is also true. The flip side is also true. Look at the sobering point at the end of verse 25. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. I think the simple point is, if you don't listen well to the Word of God, ultimately and inevitably, you're going to find yourself at great loss. You're going to find yourself at great loss. It's like the person who does not use his ability to understand the truth of the Word of God, it will blunt, it will hinder, it will dull his ability to grow. Like spiritual atrophy, almost. We want to use the Word of God. We want to grow in the Word of God, benefit from the Word of God, or we'll lose what we now have. I think verse 25 is really an exhortation from the Lord that we would study the Lord, that we would search the Word, that we would savor the gospel, that we would grow and excel in holiness. As I was preparing this, it reminded me of a few weeks ago, I took some of my children and went to the store and had to buy sod and lay down some sod in areas in our lawn. And I suppose I could lay sod in our lawn, and I could water it and water it and water it and water it day after day after day after day. And the more water that it receives, the more it's going to grow. The healthier it'll be, and the grass is going to grow healthy. But if I just put down some sod, but I don't do anything, it just kind of sits there stagnant. It receives no water. It's going to wither. It's going to turn brown. It's going to die. It's not going to be healthy. It's not going to grow tall. You want to put yourself under the water of the Word so that you're growing. You want to put yourself under the constant water, the rain of the Word, so that you're growing and you're thriving and you're excelling and you're maturing. In your outline, how do you listen well? Because look at verse 24. Jesus said, take care what you listen to. Well, how do we listen well? How do we do this? Again, I know I brought it out a few weeks ago, but let me just briefly mention this. Number one, listen with faith. You know, every time you and I come and gather with the saints and we hear the Word of God taught, you and I need to believe, I'm going to meet with God. And the same God that spoke in Genesis 1 is the same voice that will speak to me through His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same God, same power at work. We need to believe that, listen with faith. Number two, we need to listen with reverence in your outline. Listen with reverence because this is the Word of God. This is the King. This is the King. Third, we want to listen with prayer. Pray for God's blessing. Oh Lord, take your Word, and I'm weak, I'm weary, I'm troubled, I'm distracted. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, help me. Number four, we want to listen with application. Listen with application. We want to implement the truth so that we might be changed and grow in Christ's likeness. Number five, listen with humility. With humility. Because this is God's Word for me, not for my neighbor. You know, boy, he really needs to hear this. No. I need to hear this. Whatever the Spirit of God does, and however He convicts me of my sin by the power of the Spirit through the Word, I ought to receive that with thankfulness and with humility and with joy. We want to listen well to the Word of God, and we want to grow in the Word. So, number one, we want to give the Word. And then number two, we want to grow in the Word. But there's one more. Verses 26 to 29, Dorothy, you read it. But number three, we want to glorify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Now, this is awesome. Because you and I could look at point one. You got to give the Word. Share the gospel. And you could think, well, man, where's all the fruit? Where's all the conversions? You know, I'm wanting, I'm praying, I'm looking, I'm desiring. God, where are they? I'm so thankful this is here. I'm so thankful this is here because your job as a Christian is to be faithful to give out the gospel, and your job is to believe God and let Him bring about the growth. You can't save, you can't sanctify, you can't change hearts, you can't make people born again. As a parent, I need to be reminded of that. And as a Christian, we need to be reminded of that. Our job is to sow the seed of the word. And then, get this, go to bed. Just go to bed. Sleep well. Trust God. Go about your business. And believe that God is going to do the work through his word in the hearts of his people. Verse 26. Jesus was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and he gets up by day and the seed sprouts and grows." How? Well, he himself doesn't know. But the soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I think in this particular parable, Jesus is talking about the faithfulness of the believer who is going to give the gospel, and yet the word, the seed, is going to do its work in people. It's going to do its work in people. I love that. So your job is to cast seed upon the soil. It's kind of connecting it with the first parable of the four soils. Do you hear what Jesus says? Your job in verse 26, cast seed upon the soil. Just throw the gospel out. Give the gospel. Share it. Tell it. Proclaim it. Speak it. And then the next verb, verse 27, you go to bed. We go to bed. And then you get up by day and you reap a harvest. That's what a farmer did. That's the illustration. A farmer would cast a seed and he would do what was needed, but then he goes to bed at night, and then over the course of time, the seed is going to do its work. How? He doesn't have all the answers. He doesn't have the explanation, but the growth is independent of the sower. There's an amazing power in that seed. There's an amazing, mysterious power in that seed. And it will grow independent of me and you. It will grow independent of our cooperation. You know, my wife, just a month or two ago, bought a little package of seeds online. And these different vegetables and different variety of seeds that she could plant in the ground. And so we've been planting seeds in this small little crate in our dining room because it was so cold in the winter months. And my wife would care for it and she would water it and she would just water it little by little each day and then go about her business. Caring for the kids and homeschooling and all that she would do in the home. And then go to bed at night and the following day wake up and water it again and go about her business and do all that she does each day. And guess what? She planted, she watered, she went about her day, she went to sleep at night. And now some of those little plants, I mean, whether it's tomatoes or cucumber or corn or pumpkins or peppers or peas or squash or whatever, these things are now like 8 or 9 inches tall inside our dining room right now. How? We don't know. We didn't make the growth, but God did. God did. All she did was just put the seed. Just put the seed in the little dirt right there. And God brought about the growth. 1 Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered. God causes the growth. Never forget that. We plant, we water. God brings the growth. Christian, you and I need to use the law and the gospel in evangelism. Let me take 1 minute and explain what I mean. You don't just go to people and tell them God loves them and has a great plan for their life. That's not the gospel, and that's not the way Jesus did it. First of all, we must use the law. What do you mean when you say, Jeff, use the law? You need to go after their conscience. You want to awaken and convict the conscience of sinners. They need to know that they are guilty before a holy God. We are after that. And guess what? As a Christian, you always have an ally in the non-believer. Guess what? It's their conscience. It's their conscience. They could be the most rank atheist and God-hating person, but they have a conscience. They have a conscience. So you want to use the law. Use the law to awaken and convict them of their sin. Then you proclaim the gospel. The law is what accuses them of their sin, and then you bring the gospel to the wounded soul so that they hope in Christ. Where will I go for hope? Here's the righteousness of Christ. He died for you. He lived for you. He rose for you. He made atonement for you. And that's what we are to do. And I love verse 28. The soil produces crops by itself. So Christian, you shoot the arrow. You shoot the arrow. To use a different analogy, you shoot the arrow. And the Spirit of God is going to take that arrow and drive it deep into the heart of the prepared soul. You don't know who that person is. And you don't know how and when and if God is going to bring growth at that time. But you give the gospel. And we trust God. Trust God. In your outline, you have this. Because the seed of the word, the seed of the gospel, is alive. It's piercing. It's convicting. It is saving. The seed of the word is comforting. It is unstoppable. It is infallible. That means it will never, ever fail to reach the intended goal. It is sufficient. We don't need other methods to share the gospel. We have the word. We have the gospel. We have the truth. And the gospel is clear. The word is clear. So Christian, what does the Lord say tonight? There are four soils, right? If you and I are the fourth soil, we've received the word and we're bearing fruit and we're holding on to the word. The Lord says, give it out. Let your light shine. Put that lampstand up there so that all know the truth of the gospel. And then individually, we are to be growing as well. Personally, we are to be growing as well. Not just giving the word, but growing in the word. And then third, we are to glorify the Lord. He brings the growth. He brings the growth. So Christian, sow the seed. Sow the seed. Go to bed. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. We talk a lot about Myanmar, and we're going to pray for Myanmar in just a minute here. But Adoniram Judson was a missionary to Myanmar in the 1800s. And he, just like William Carey, as I began with, but Adoniram Judson labored for years, years and years and years as a missionary before the Lord saved one person under his ministry. But it wasn't without trials. He married a woman and she died. He buried her. Then he remarried, had to bury his second wife as well. Had a number of children, had to bury them. He died after a long ministry with very little visible fruit, kind of like William Carey. And yet he was faithful to the end of his life. And you know what Adoniram Judson said at the end of his life? Here's a missionary serving God with all of his might. He said this: in spite of sorrow and loss and pain, our course be onward still. We sow the seed on Burma's barren plain, but we will reap on Zion's hill. I sow the seed in Burma, but I will never know the result until I get to the heavenly Zion. So Christian, that's our job. Father, help us as we come to you in prayer, as we want to be a church family prioritizing what our Savior calls us to. Lord, not everybody is a missionary, evangelist, an elder, a pastor, a young man, a young woman. Some are working, some are retired, some are single, some are married. You've put us all in different seasons of life, O Lord. But for every Christian in this room, O Lord, you've specifically told us that we are to hear the word well. And we want to give the word out faithfully in evangelism. Lord, thank you for the message of the gospel, the reconciliation with the holy God through the work of Christ. Lord, help us as a church to not be distracted with cultural things. Help us as a church to not be distracted with the things of this world. But Lord, help us to remain focused on worshiping you and making you known to other people as well. Oh Lord, with that, would you bear fruit, we pray. Our trust is in you. We rely upon you. We share the gospel. We share the gospel with our children and in catechism and in baby hats and at the abortion clinic and in so many different ways. Lord, please bear fruit. We trust in you and in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray.